Right, we're starting a series in the book of Ruth, which is in the Old Testament. It's a really amazing book. So we're going to start reading at chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and a husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where they'd been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness, as you've shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We'll go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I'm too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it's more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this, they wept out loud. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me, and the Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning.
It was the best of times, and it was the worst of times. It's a quotation from a book. I'm sure Liz knows which book it is. Tale of Two Cities. Yeah. And this sentence which starts the book sets the scene for what is about to happen in the rest of the book. And in many ways, this same statement could be a statement about the book of Ruth, because there were good times and there were bad times, except the other way around. But also, the writer of Ruth sets the scene with his opening introduction. He starts off, in the days when the rulers, when the judges ruled. And the problem of the judges' period was unrestrained selfishness, individualism. Everyone was out for number one. Civil unrest and political instability were exploited for personal gain and personal pleasure. And this unrestrained selfishness was because Israel had no king. And as you read the last chapters of the book of Judges, and you might want to do that to get the background to the story of Ruth, but those several last chapters, there's this constant phrase that is repeated. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And against that background, we look at how one family fared, the family of Elimelech. The man's name, the head of the family, was Elimelech. In Hebrew, Elimelech means God is king. So what I want to do, in a way, is reintroduce the story of the book of Ruth. In the days when the judges ruled, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. There was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judea, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was God is King. God's sovereign care is a central theme of the book of Ruth. And although the book is called after Ruth, I actually think the central character in the story is Naomi. It's really her fortunes and the fortunes of her family that we follow as the story develops. We follow the story of a woman living under the sovereign care of God in the midst of a society where self-interest was supreme. And just a couple of things I want to pick up on this morning. Oh, I'm forgetting about my slides. Sorry, it's a while since I've done this. So the first thing I want to say is that living under God's sovereign care did not prevent suffering. In Hebrew, Elimelech means, the economic and political instability still imposed its pressures on her family. They shared in the experience of the nation's hardships. Elimelech's family lived in Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. And scholars think that the area, it was given that name because the area is particularly fertile for grain harvesting. But there was a famine. And the famine, it seems, was probably quite localized because 50 miles away in Moab, there was grain. And so Elimelech decided to move his family to Moab. They had been living in what was an economically prosperous area, but when hardship struck, they had to move and effectively become refugees in a foreign land in order to find a living. So the family moved to Moab, and in Moab, Elimelech died. The loss of a loved one through death is a reality all of us face at some point in our lives. And yet nothing quite prepares us for the shock when it actually happens. Today we can make provision for our dependents, and it's helpful that we do so if we're able. But no such opportunities were available for Naomi. The loss of her husband meant just not emotional hardship, but emotional hardship, not just economic hardship, but also emotional hardship. Fortunately, she had her two sons, and they could provide for her. So the sons marry, they settle down, and Naomi adjusts to life as a widow. No doubt she was focused very much on her family, and I expect she had that longing to have grandchildren. And then tragedy struck again. both of her sons died. 10 years ago, they had moved to Moab in the hope of finding economic security. Now she had lost everything. How could she bear such a tragedy? There were no prospects for her in Moab. And when she heard that the prosperity had returned to Judah, she decided to return home. She encouraged her daughters-in-law to return to their own families. Perhaps they might find new husbands. Naomi had nothing to offer them. She had lost everything, and her future held no hope. Living under God's sovereign care did not save her from suffering. Living under God's sovereign care did not lessen the pain of suffering. Naomi's reaction to suffering is a very natural one. She blames God. Notice how she describes her suffering to her daughters-in-law. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me. Can you feel this woman's pain? If we are to grasp anything from the story of Ruth, we need to feel the intense pain that Naomi felt. She'd gone with great hopes, and bit by bit, all of those hopes were dashed. Her husband died. She relied on her sons. Her sons died. And she was left without hope. And Naomi considered that it was God's doing. God had robbed her of her husband, her sons, her future. She had no hope of descendants. God had done this to her. He had shut her up to nothing. Notice the words that she uses to encourage Ruth to go back home. She says to her, "Your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods." Now, why did she say that? Was it perhaps that she felt that Ruth would be better off with the gods of Moab than with the God that she believed in? We need to feel Naomi's pain. The whole of the second half of the chapter of Ruth is about Naomi's pain. The exchange with Ruth is about her pain. She does not want those she cares about to be caught up in her pain. She will bear it alone. And sometimes we find that's the way people react to suffering, isn't it? They do not want to burden others close to them with their suffering. They want to shut themselves up with their own suffering. And at such a time, we need to do what Ruth did. We need to stay with them and share their pain. Naomi's pain and a total sense of loss are emphasized when she arrives back in Bethlehem. She says, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life bitter." Naomi means pleasant, and Mara means bitter. So she was really feeling absolutely shattered. Notice how she refers to God. "The Almighty has made me bitter." Perhaps she felt hopeless in the face of such a powerful God who had done all these things to deprive her of all that she had owned and all she valued and all hope she had for the future. It's not unnatural for people to feel that way when they're going through hard times. Some feel God has let them down. Some may think he has abandoned them altogether. Some even think their suffering is a punishment sent by God. And the Bible does not avoid such questions. It deals with the lives of real people. It allows them to express their doubts, their disappointment with God, and at times even their anger towards them. It's all there, open and upfront in the pages of the Bible. And you know, we can learn from that. In church, we need to give people freedom to express disappointment, doubt, and even anger. And when we deprive people of that opportunity, we force them to pretend. Ruth brings together the themes of divine sovereignty and human suffering. And the relationship between those two has perplexed both scholars and ordinary Christians. Suffering is a reality we all have to live with. The book of Ruth does not answer the question why it should be shown. There are no easy answers to Naomi's suffering, no quick solutions, no sudden intervention by God. How often we would love to be able to say a prayer and solve someone's problems, but often life is not like that. There are no quick fixes in the book of Ruth. It is about bare survival, just getting through life's setbacks without being completely overwhelmed. And perhaps that's where some of us might be this morning. And there are lessons for all of us to learn as we go through the book of Ruth. The feelings of despair that Naomi felt made me think of how Jesus' disciples must have felt when he died on that first Good Friday. They had left everything to follow him. They saw him do remarkable things. He made the blind see. He made the lame walk. He brought back to life a widow's dead son. And now he was dead. They had such high hopes for what he would do for them and for the nation. Like Naomi, they had lost all hope for the future. But God had a big surprise in store. Within a few days, they would meet the resurrected Jesus. He would explain to them the meaning of his death, a sacrifice that ensured forgiveness for all those who put their trust in him. That was a message that would change their lives forever. It's a message that since then has changed the lives of many thousands, perhaps millions of people around the world. It's a message that has changed the lives of many of us here this morning. And if you've never embraced that message, if you've never experienced that forgiveness of God, if you've never put your trust in Christ, then we would encourage you to explore that more. And one of the really good ways to do that is through the Alpha course. And in a few weeks' time, we will be looking to run another Alpha course. It's an opportunity to watch some video presentation and then to explore those questions which are most meaningful for you. So if you would like to know more, either have a word with Carol or with Alison, and they'll be able to take a note and let you know when we start. Or if you're a Christian and you would like to deepen in your faith, there's a lot that's valuable in the Alpha course. There's a lot that will encourage you to be more certain of the faith you believed in and will help you grow as a Christian. So we would really encourage you to consider that. And as we shall see in the next few weeks, there is a future for Naomi. God had not abandoned her, although at this point in the story, she cannot see it. Next week, we shall look at the first steps to recovery. But there are two big lessons I want us to take away from this story. We can be under God's sovereign care, but still suffer setbacks that threaten to overwhelm us. But it doesn't mean that God has abandoned us. To those of us who are Christians, God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." And secondly, in church, we can be honest about our feelings. We don't have to pretend. If church is to be a place where hurts are healed, we need to foster an atmosphere of openness, honesty, and acceptance. I'm going to invite the band to come back, and we're going to sing a song that's based on the experiences of another biblical character who endured a prolonged period of hardship. On a single day, Job lost all his possessions and all his children. And this was his response. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that's the story behind the song that we're about to sing.